Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Good morning, Kathy. This is End Times Friday. This will be airing the 18th, I believe, of January, the first two Fridays. In January, we had friends from Israel, Eric and Rabbi Ephraim and Denny. If you haven't heard those, if you haven't gone and listened to those, go back. Tremendous information.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating to talk to them, right?
Yeah, about Israel. And we'll talk a little bit about that today and some of the economic stuff as we continue our discussion now on deception, which is important as we head forward on any level. I see that your Christmas tree's down. So
it is only in this room, to be honest, because... As everyone knows, we taped this early, but because we have been so off, I think I wanted to go ahead and get this room at least back to normal so that it did not look so particularly out of season, because otherwise we'll have February episodes sitting up in with the Christmas tree up. So
yeah, that's
this
right.
Room only.
You have a nice Christmas. I know you had family over for Christmas, New Year's. And
we did. We had a great time, actually. We had family over for Christmas. We have some funny stories I can share at some point, including even being in a Christmas parade where we got booed. All kinds of unique things that went on this season.
Wait a minute. How did you get booed at a Christmas parade?
Okay, I will tell you the story, but it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. So, we are doing our new empty nester. What does this look like now that three kids are grown and doing Christmas and everything else? So our Christmas Eve was December 23rd. Christmas Day was December 24th. It was the sweetest time ever to have all eight of us together. And I wasn't sure how I was going to like shifting it a day, but that actually went great. And then the night of the 24th, we still met everybody at church because we all go to the same church. So we met everybody at church for the service. And then because we were going home with no kids to our house on Christmas Eve evening, Dan and I decided we'd do something a little new this year. And we had, my dad, for years, had this gorgeous, when he was alive, had this gorgeous Santa suit. And so Dan put the Santa suit on. We had prearranged with a few of the young, we have a lot of young families at our church, a few of the young families at our church to do little quote unquote Santa sightings while we were out in the area. So he put on the suit and he would go into their backyards and hang little candy canes and they would notice Santa at the window and go run and cheer and whatever. And so it was cute. The kids enjoyed it. It's about an hour away where we're doing this. Anyway, on the way home, one of the families had rented a house for Christmas in Swampscott. And so we were out a little further than normal. So out by the coast in Northern Shore of Mass. And the only way to get back to the highway was to go through Lynn, Mass. We did not realize that there was a longstanding tradition in Lynn, Mass of having a Christmas Eve parade. So here we thought we were going to do our cute little drive-by and then just go on home and have our evening. And lo and behold, we turned. The only route to the highway intersects with this parade that is a five-hour-long parade, 120 vehicles, and one that's been going on since 1986 that they don't block the roads or the intersections for. But because the town is not that big, you can't turn and avoid the parade. Every street you turn to try to reroute, you're still in the parade. And because they don't block the intersections, indeed, there's ways that you actually, a stoplight will happen and there'll be a break. So long story short, stoplight, we get in, I'm trying desperately to redirect us. A few different times we've landed in this parade. And apparently it is a tradition there that even though they don't block the streets that if you drive into the parade, they will boo you. To the point that we actually had there, I remember a guy on the side of the road, like getting his little kids and pulling them up and pointing at our car and showing them, boo, boo, boo. It was absolutely horrendous. And then we finally found a route that we thought would get us out. It took us 2 hours to do a 1 hour drive because of trying to get out of this parade. We finally found a route that would get us out. And we had to go through this wall of people blocking this one street. And fortunately, there were a couple cars in front of us that also were stuck in the parade being booed by everyone. And this was like miles of being booed. It's not like just this little pocket. It's miles of being booed everywhere you go. And we get through and they were literally throwing snowballs at our cars. I'm like, I have never seen anything like this in my life. But anyway, we were indeed in the Lynn Christmas Parade and we were booed.
Congratulations.
You know, that's a little piece of trivia.
Oh, man.
But it made for a memory. And then we had our Christmas morning, and Dan and Caleb and Olivia and I went to the Celtics game that evening together. So lots of fun. You know, new traditions across the board this year for us, but it was a fun, fun time and sweet celebration.
Aiden and I, I've got, you know, kind of a what they call a quarter season pass. I get a fourth of the games that I go to for the Nuggets, Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And because you're season, you know, pass holders, they give you these opportunities for special things to participate in. So Aiden and I, you know, during this Christmas season, I went to a game and we were invited down on the floor during warmups. So we get to watch the players on both teams practice. They come out about an hour and a half before the game.
Right.
And they practice for about an hour. So we got to be, you know, sitting on the floor, watching them, being next to them. And we go and we're part of a group that gets to hold the American flag during the
speaking
of the national anthem. So we march in with the flag as again, you know, because it goes on the floor, almost half the floor. So we go out there and we're standing there and all these superstar players are, you know, right next to us. One of them accidentally hit us with a basketball and he came over and, you know, and got the ball, sorry, you know. And, so it was fun. And then we unroll up the flag, go out on the floor, and both teams lined up. And this lady who's we were talking to this lady who was the singer. And I asked her, I said, you know, he's a guy. She says, I know the words.
He said,
do you need some help? She said, if I need help, I'll invite you over, you know. And so we had a good time with her. And then, you know, we unroll the flag on the floor and they sing the national anthem. And then we, you know, put it back and go. And so it was quite a treat for Aiden.
That's awesome.
To be part of that. And, you know, it was just fun. So we had a good time. Well, we've been, you know, in these last two times that will air, have aired right now with Eric and Rabbi, brought a great update on Israel on all fronts. So Gaza, Hezbollah, Iran, Syria, what's going on with Netanyahu, Trump, all this information is going on. Now, at the time, they had thought that there would be a hostage deal. Where they would release hostages on both sides and do another. They've done a ceasefire in the north, and it's held up pretty good. Hezbollah in Lebanon. Gaza, there's been some more activity there, and which is the Gaza terrorist group. They will not agree at the moment to the terms of Israel's thing. So it'll be interesting as of here now. You know, it'll be airing the 17th. Maybe by now something will have happened, but as we're taping this, nothing has happened. And they thought it was going to get done because everybody was making overture that, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. So it'll be very dynamic to see what happens with that. And then we'll have Eric and Rabbi back on in a couple of weeks to bring an update on it because lots of things are going on over there in Israel. And in America, you know, we have the new administration coming on. There's a, again, because we don't get, in a sense, we don't get really good information.
Right.
People can get caught up in what I call generalities of what people think and say is that, well, with our economy in America, is it's going to be fine and Trump's going to bring it back and everything's going to be good. But as we look at that, which is why we're encouraging everybody to
the directions we need.
Because he knows the truth. And we'll talk about right. that today as we continue about deception. But there are things that have been going on in the economy and are going on in the economy that are problems.
Right.
And remember the essence of personal economy is a stable job, mm-hmm. stable income, and expenses that are lower than my income.
Right.
So I can build a margin and I have safety, et cetera. And then my personal economy is good. So really it's all driven around the job situation and the what we call marginal income.
Right.
Be able to afford to pay for things. So I just want to give you some information as we, particularly as we head in and continue this discussion on deception. But today, the government debt is $36.2 trillion, which is higher than our GDP. And if we continue at the rate of borrowing, and this would be something to watch, by the way, under the Trump administration, because they make overtures that they're going to reduce spending, but we got to watch and see. But right now, if they don't change it, 4 years from now, we'll be at $51 trillion. And that means a gigantic piece, and forget about principal payment, but just interest payments mm-hmm. will be a gigantic piece of our federal budget interest mm-hmm. on the debt. And that means other programs have to suffer, or, which is really what happens, they just keep borrowing more. So it'll be interesting. 1% of Americans are having trouble paying the bills. 95% of disposable income for over a third of all the households are just on necessities.
Can you say that one again? Sorry, it sounded a little fuzzy.
95% of the disposable income for over a third of the households in America is just trying to keep up with necessities, housing costs, increased utility bills. And that means they're having trouble because of the price increases that have gone up 327% over 3 years mm-hmm. On basic things. So by the way, it's interesting that you take groceries and certain things, they don't put those in the cost of living calculations.
Right.
But the average person knows, well, that's where they spend. So, that's happening. I'm just trying to give you some information here. 10% of Americans are able to manage their houses costs, and 90% are struggling with basic mm-hmm. housing costs because it's gotten so out of whack. There is 40% of U.S. cardholders have already maxed out their credit cards.
Wow.
And they have to try to get more. The number of job openings in the United States since 2021 has fallen by 4 million. See, that's a big thing. That's a big deal, is that because of the way they calculate unemployment, if somebody stops looking for unemployment, they take them off the calculation. But 4 million jobs have been lost, mm-hmm. since 2021, and that'll be interesting. U.S. retailers have closed 7,000 stores in 2024.
Wow.
That's a big number. And then the number of bankruptcies ending just in the last June 30th is up 45%. Because of the thing and the debt, and we'll get into the banking, but a lot of the banks, again, if you remember in 2008 with the real estate problem, they have a lot of bad loans. Right now, the banks, a lot of them have a lot of bad loans. Mm-hmm. So that's going to eat, that's going to come back. So the impact of all that is that as we consider the future, it's always, following God. Mm-hmm. Step by step by step. He continues to promise for those that have a heart to follow the covenant, I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. Because all of this, it doesn't stop him from delivering Absolutely. What he wants to and guiding us. And then the key is to be guided mm-hmm. and not to get drawn into a false thing. Because we have a new administration coming, everything's going to come back to normal. Well, there's scriptural things to hold. Underneath it. And we have to just pay attention to it in terms of, you know, where I'm at, my company, what opportunities do I have, what is God saying to me? And we just want to keep encouraging people because of these structural issues, that what it may look like on the surface may underneath it all be a little bit different.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, we have that, and we certainly have Israel as we're focusing on what's going to happen there, because Israel will be, remember, is the center of attention as we, you know, head into the next phase of things. So it'll be important. Well, let's last time when we left, this would be at the end of December, we were focused on understanding this issue of deception, that as we head into this period of time, deception is going to get stronger and stronger. When we define deception, it's portraying false as truth, and truth as false.
Right.
So deception is kind of mixing those up, where, well, it looks like this is true, but it really isn't.
Yeah. Even as you're saying that, I'm just reminded in the simplest of terms how the Bible characterizes Satan as the father of lies.
It's all principalities and powers.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is working to deceive. And what we're trying to say is we believers have the opportunity not to be deceived. Mm-hmm. But it takes a heart to pursue God and pursue truth and let the truth be known, just like we just read all these statistics. These are verifiable statistics. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be, well, it doesn't matter. It matters. The question is, oh, Father, what do you want me to understand? What's true for me and my situation? So we want to revisit and go back to understanding this. So if you would, Kathy, go back to 1 Thessalonians 2, read verses 1 to 4. And the topic is our warning about deception.
Sure. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God."
So he says, let no one be deceived. Mm-hmm. And be careful that you get into deception. So the challenge that he's presenting to us is, as you go through life and as you move into this season of deception, and we can say, again, there's a lot of signals that maybe we're entering into the final deception, which would be the tribulation and the Antichrist and then Christ's return. But even if we're not, we know one thing, we're in a season of deception.
Absolutely.
And just simple things like the way the news is given is you can't rely on what they say is true.
Right. From either direction. Right.
Either direction.
It's not that one side is more truthful than the other. It's that there's deception abounding on all sides. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a part of the culture. And this is worldwide, by the way, has been, is that there's no longer a regard for true information. It's, I can tell you what I want you to hear, and I'm going to, what's called spin, I'm going to spin the information, and I can openly speak a lie as if it's true. And that's why nobody, and particularly, you know, we think of millennials right now, they kind of understand this, is because their thought is, well, maybe there's no truth at all. Not they're searching for truth. And by the way, there's a great opportunity to witness for truth. Okay, so then go to Jeremiah, and he tells us a little bit about this. So Jeremiah 9, verses 3 to 6.
"And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. The weary themselves commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit, though through deceit that they may refuse to know me, says the Lord."
So, it's pretty simple. It says, you're living in the middle of deceit. The character of the culture is deceit. Mm-hmm. And we can say, well, I think that's where we're living right now. Yeah. Is that the nature of culture and communication, even in families, churches, certainly politics, is deceit. Mm-hmm. Is I try to persuade you that what I think is right without regard for information.
Right.
And try to get you. And he says, nobody is telling the truth. Hmm. Okay, now think about that. If nobody around me is telling the truth, probably what's going to be important for me?
To be able to hear the truth from God. Yes.
Okay, so then what it says to me, and this is what God's trying to say to us, is rely on other situations. Because remember, he's talking about the people that are, in this case, being in Israel, who are children of God. So he says, it's not because they're unbelievers. It's that the culture has become that way around you from every direction, including the church world.
And so you truly need discernment. Yeah.
So he says, and the reason, he actually gives a reason. The reason that you don't know truth is that you what? Don't know me. And the word there, know, is experience, participate with, walk with. They're not walking with me. And because they're in the world, and the world has become a center of deception, they're getting their supposed truth in a way that's all deception. Why? Well, because they're not walking with me, because I'll show them the truth if they have a heart to go. So he's saying the key is to walk with him. And then go over to Jeremiah 29 and read verses 6 to 9.
Sure. Jeremiah 29, 6 to 9 or 8 to
9? 8 to 9.
For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord.
So he's highlighted it even deeper and said, you'll have people who are saying they're prophetic. Prophetic meaning, here's my view of truth. Mm-hmm. Remember, prophecy isn't just foretelling, it's forthtelling, truth-telling. And people are saying, well, here's what's true. And God says, well, they're not for me because I haven't sent them. So now, let's think through, process through, you know, what the people around you are saying, what the church is saying, what people are broadcasting, instead of urge everybody, instead of just believing because you respect their authority or they respect their position, is to go to the Father, go to God and say, is this true?
Right.
And see, the neat thing about the Holy Spirit, he says, my role is to guide you into truth.
Right.
And all you have to do is have a heart to go, and I'll trouble you when it's not true. Mm-hmm. And I'll go with you, no, it isn't true. And then our next question would be, well then what is true? Mm-hmm. He says, well, walk with me. And I'll say, because I'm going to go from deception to truth. And the truth that is there that is being said isn't true, or the false that is being said is true. I've got to sort that out for you.
Right.
And now think of the beauty of it. We have the opportunity for a God of the universe who does know truth and is truth to show me the truth. Mm-hmm. And two, if I get community around me that has the same heart, we will process that and come to understand certain things and say, oh, okay, now I see what's going on. And here's the implication of that. What have you got to say now from the Father that he will guide us into? And we think that this is a critical time where actually, because of what happened with the election, people can kind of let their guard down.
Say, good.
You know, it's going to go back to good. And God says, well, be careful here. Keep pursuing truth. I'll show you the truth and don't get deceived. We'll talk more about this because he says he has a lot to say about this issue of deception. And we want to keep highlighting that as you pursue truth, keep looking at real information, mm-hmm. and get to data that is good. And then two, be around people that have a heart to hear from God and say, well, I think I heard this, or I see this, or I understand this. And then all we would do is, even if they say it, it's not like, okay, great, let's go look at it together. Let's go make sure. Again, the neat thing is God says,
right. And he desires us to come to him and ask, and he'll give us discernment and wisdom on it, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of what you say is that, yeah, we're going to be in the middle of a deceptive culture. And the reason is that people are not seeking you from all sides. And so we just pray that we will, that we'll gather people around us, that we will not be deceived. And you tell us to be careful not to be deceived. It's really tricky, and we understand that. But you give us a heart for truth, and that will lead us to what you have to say to us as you guide us into all of life, which is important for you to deliver the covenant to us. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Always interesting and a pleasure to have these conversations with you. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.